It's KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
Who in it now?
Matt Smith in for Zach By, Phil Lindsay. Happy Friday. One more hour to go here.
Just an hour.
And we've got the Masters on in studio. And the boys are rounding the back nine here, and it looks like the final group's just a few holes to go. Quick check of the leaderboard. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler tied atop the leaderboard heading into the weekend at 6-under. Scheffler through 15 has 16, 17, and 18 to play. And then after that, Niklas Hjulgaard. You know him, right? You got his poster.
Oh, yeah,
you got his poster on your wall.
I talk to him every day.
Yeah, he's at 4-under at in fourth place. Colin Morikawa, former Pac-12 player, Cal Bears. Colin Morikawa, he's at 3-under, tied with Cam Davis. Ludvig Åberg, he's at 2-under. You got a lot of little international flavor here in the top of the leaderboard. So
what about Tiger?
Good. I'm glad you asked.
That's my man. I got to make sure that
I'm
he's
glad
in.
You asked. I'm glad you asked, Phil, because we needed to see Tiger make the cut, which he did. He made the cut, so the streak is alive. Shame on you, Zach.
Zach By out there, if you're listening, he did not think Tiger was going to make the cut.
You tell me that Zach faded Tiger?
Yes.
Zach's a hater.
He's a hater. Haters are going to hate.
I mean, if it looks like a hater, smells like a hater, must be a hater. Wow, but it bet against Tiger. Wow, I mean, that was a dumb idea. Yeah, of course, so did I. So can I remember Tiger. Tiger finished 1 over, okay, for the first two rounds. So he's at 1 over, tied for 21st, which is pretty good. I mean, right now, he's only, 7 shots off the lead. Tomorrow's moving day. Maybe you get a couple of back. I don't know. Typically, we've seen him outside of that one amazing year a couple of years ago where, you know, he came from nowhere and won the tournament at his age. It seems like the weekend is where he might struggle to motor around the course, but he knows Augusta like the back of his hand. He knows where to rest. He knows where to push it. Now, where this becomes interesting is if there's wind like there was today.
There was a lot.
There's a lot of wind. I mean, the flags were whipping today. So yesterday, DeChambeau finished at 7-under, and he led the tournament after the first round. Well, he finished 1 over today. Guys, I mean, we're talking about it was a war of attrition. Ludvig Åberg finished at 3-under for today's round. That was the lowest score on the course today. You only had, 8 guys finish under par today. That means it was blustery out there at Augusta.
Blistering winds
out there at Augusta. You ever been on the tee box and the wind just been whipping left to right across the fairway and you go, I got to throw this thing up there to the left and just let it bend back down? That's the type of golf we're talking about. A little windy golf.
It will be windy out, and I'm just praying.
How would you do in this wind?
Tee box.
Yeah,
like, can I just hit it? Please, wind, help me out.
How would you do? Jordan Spieth misses the cut. A lot of guys will not be around. Let's see the notables. Adam Scott will not play the weekend. Ricky Fowler not going to play the weekend. Sung J M, Zach Johnson, Mike Weir, Justin Rose, Sergio. But Tiger's in, and it feels like for a lot of people that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
I mean, it's Tiger.
Exactly.
It's Tiger. We're all pulling for Tiger.
Now, can he do it? Can he do something tomorrow?
We'll find out.
To be determined, but at least he got it.
It's moving day. Hey, you know what else is tomorrow? A national championship. That is right. I'm so glad you asked, Phil.
Here come the Pioneers if they hurry.
Let's go.
That was a crazy game.
Crazy game. Competing for a national championship tomorrow night. 4 o'clock is a puck drop. I'm pumped up, man. I mean, they're going for 2 and 3 years here. They're going for 2 and 3 years. David Carl and his squad, they've done a great job. How about this? The DU Pios, they've won 3 consecutive 2-1 games in the NCAA tournament.
They have.
That isn't easy.
It just shows you what type of people they are, what type of players he has.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gutsy. They're going to play till the end. Overtime, they're exhausted. They find ways to win. The goalies, right? The goalie position is doing a great job. I mean, even in the game yesterday versus BU, I mean, it was the fight of the goalies.
It was.
Like, truly.
It was. No, you know, BU's goaltender, I think, is Matthew Caron.
Awesome.
He's been really good. He's been really good. And then Matt Davis, who's the goaltender for the Pioneers. How about this number? He stopped 106 shots, okay, out of 109 he's faced the tournament. If he's not the tournament's most outstanding player, if DU wins,
yeah,
I'd be stunned. Because tomorrow they go up against a juggernaut. Boston College is no joke. They got four or five dudes who are going to be playing in the NHL within the next couple of years.
Mm.
You don't really see that much at college. So DU's going to have their hands full. But look, they're a defensive team. And as you said, behind their goaltending, hopefully they can give it a run. But Boston College, man, they made easy work of Michigan yesterday.
And I was hoping Michigan would have got in. I was hoping Michigan, it would be a DU-Michigan game just because of what's in store, what's in stake with that whole situation.
Yeah, trying to be the first to 10, the first program to 10 national titles for hockey. That's crazy, man. DU's at 9, and they're going to go for 10 tomorrow. So we're all going to be rooting for the Pios tomorrow, 4 o'clock puck drop. And then, of course, you know, we got the Pios game, but we also have another big hockey game tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
So you got at 2 o'clock, you got the Avs at home at Ball Arena. Then when that's done, motor out of there, because you know the Avs will take care of business early. They're not going to make us sweat out a game tomorrow, are they?
You know.
Not in a battle for second place, will they?
Yeah. If they were watching the Denver Nuggets, they may let us sweat out until the third period. Or they could go ahead and handle business.
No, it's going to be a full sweat. It's going to be a full sweat tomorrow against the Winnipeg Jets. So that's 2 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, you've got the national title game. But make no mistake, this is a huge Avalanche game. So Winnipeg beats Dallas last night, which is significant. Avs lost to Dallas on Sunday. Essentially, Phil, for all intents and purposes, there goes the Central, right? There goes the division. Not going to be your year for the division.
Is what it is.
Is what
it
is.
We all know.
Well, they're in third place. They're not even in second place right now. They have to beat Winnipeg tomorrow night to secure home ice advantage for at least the first round of the playoffs. Otherwise, they're starting the playoffs in Winnipeg, which would be a little unfamiliar based upon the last couple of years.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this, right? How do you feel? Like, the Denver Nuggets had a kind of a situation like this as well with the Timberwolves. We had a business at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that Colorado Avalanche right now in a situation with Winnipeg where you win, you have home ice advantage. We want home ice advantage, right?
At least in the first round, it'd be nice.
People kind of got on me before about saying, who cares about home ice? Who cares about home ice? I mean, me personally, I want to be home where I've been dominant majority of the time. You know, I care about home ice. I don't know about you, Matt.
I'm with you because this Avalanche team, as compared to last year or even the year before, they're much better at home than they were on the road.
Mm.
The last two seasons, they've actually been road warriors. They've been dominant on the road. Not this year. I'm with you. They need it in the first round because Winnipeg will not be an easy matchup, okay? They have the most likely Vezina winner in Connor Hellebuck in net. That is a challenge. And not to mention, they loaded up at the deadline themselves. I mean, they picked up some players. They got Sean Monahan, right? Drew, who else did Winnipeg grab now that I'm just trying to think off the top of my head? Tyler Toffoli they grabbed? I mean,
They had Gabe Vilardi last year for the PL Dubois trade. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good team. And they're heavy, right?
Yeah,
they're a heavy forward group, and they could provide a physical test for the Avs, especially considering you got a damn good goaltender back there.
Yeah.
So you'd love to start with 1-2 on home ice, and the Avs, at home tomorrow at least, are going to get a chance to be able to secure the second seed.
So, Matt, what's our issue, right? I know a lot of people and myself, it's the goalie. We don't know what Georgiev's going to bring to the table. Is he going to stand on his head? You know, we all know that a goalie can steal a series. It can steal a game. I don't know if Georgiev can steal a series. I don't think he can, and I definitely don't think he's going to steal a game, maybe one.
Yeah, he's not stealing a series, and they're not going to ask him to.
Yeah.
That's not the way they're built. I mean, they're built to get average or just above average goaltending and then be so dominant in front of you that, you know, hopefully that carries you through. You know when they won the Cup in 22? Darcy Kemper, their goaltender then, the worst save percentage for any Stanley Cup winning goaltender of all time. So you don't need amazing stand on your head, I'm going to steal you a bunch of games, but you need a guy who can be solid,
okay?
And that, I think, is where Avs fans have been a little bit up and down with the goaltending situation because it just hasn't been ultra consistent.
Well, you get frustrated. You get frustrated because it's like, come on, man. There's a couple of those games where if you stand on your head or if you just are in the right place, we win those games. So for you, what is it going to be? What is it going to take? What are you worried about?
Not really much with the Avalanche goaltending. And compared to everybody else, That's not what's going to stop them from winning. I mean, at least in my opinion. Drew, how do you feel about that?
I'm actually with Phil on this one. I think the goaltending is the biggest.
Really?
Yeah, the biggest question for me. I mean, I look at Georgiev. Okay, right now he's given up, what, about 4 goals a game, it seems like, over the last few starts. Can he give up 2-3 goals a game?
Yeah.
If he does that, I think they're fine. And I think this team has a chance to at least get to the Western Conference Final, if not the Stanley Cup Final. I know, Matt, I think one of your big concerns is that second line, especially second line center. Yeah, they went out and got Casey Mittelstadt, but...
Leave my boy Casey alone, man.
Hey, listen, I'm still on the Casey bandwagon. I know he got out to a really good start, and I would like to see more from him overall, but I don't think it's just a Casey Mittelstadt thing.
No.
Val hasn't been himself since he's come back from his injury.
Agreed.
And I don't know. And Zach Parise, let's be honest, he doesn't belong on that second line. I know he's filling in there with Mikko being hurt. Things have kind of been shuffled around and stuff like that, but I look at that second line, and now with Mikko probably playing on that line tomorrow, I think that's got the potential to be a really good, heavy second line. You got 3 dudes that I know. Casey Mittelstadt doesn't really play a physical brand of hockey, but he's big enough to kind of be that guy. Val's obviously the guy that plays physical. He can get in front of the net. Mikko can play physical. I like the setup of this team if everybody's healthy. I think the Casey Mittelstadt can do a good job of setting Val up, setting Mikko up. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So here's where I'm at with the goaltending, all right? So, yeah, you bring up Georgiev. He hasn't been excellent of late. In four of his last 6 starts, he's allowed 4 more goals, okay? But let's look at the shot totals, okay? 36, he allows 6 goals. 47, he allows 6 goals. You know, and then there was the one outlier against Nashville where he got the quick hook after giving up 4 goals, you know, on the first 13 shots. Now here comes Justus Onanen, 22 for 22, earns himself 3rd star of the game.
Well, my man threw the puck into the stands.
Yeah, you had to get him out of
there. He almost threw his jockstrap in there.
Agreed. Like, you had to get him out of there. You're right. And then the other game, 4 goals, 34 shots. That's a lot. And sure, you're going to see some of that in the playoffs. No question. To Drew's point, can we bring that down from 4-3? Because we've heard Jared Bednar multiple times this season talk about outscoring our deficiencies.
Yeah.
And here's my concern. And this is why I am concerned, and I'm really not all that bullish on the Avs. When Nathan MacKinnon is not on the ice, it's still not good enough. It's just still not good enough. When you remove him from the equation, it's like Jokic on and off the floor. That's the splits. And it's the same way it was last year, except for maybe it was better last year because Mikko Rantanen had himself a hell of a year. But he was always on the ice with Nate. So the whole point of this is that you went out at the deadline. You got Casey Mittelstadt to build yourself a second line.
For sure.
They haven't really done that, Phil. They've contributed... here and there.
That was my question to you. It was 10 games. Last time we talked to you, talk to me in 10 games about the new additions.
Yeah. I think Sean Walker's been great. As a third line D pair, I mean, you can't possibly ask for more. The defenseman they got from Philly in the Ryan Johansson trade, love. Brandon Duhaime, what a great culture fit in your bottom 6. Outstanding scouting by the Avalanche scouting department. That guy has fit in perfectly. He's young, he's hungry, he's greasy, and I think he's a playoff player. Love the fit. Yakov Trenin, they brought him in from Nashville. Absolutely love it. You needed a center to be able to play on the penalty kill, and now they finally have one. Yeah. They played all year up until the deadline without a center who could actually play on the penalty kill. Well, now you got somebody who can take those important draws. So I do like Yakov Trenin, too. Production-wise, maybe you don't expect a ton, but he certainly hasn't been dynamic in that regard.
Yeah.
But you don't need everybody to be a goal scorer. You don't. And now Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt's an interesting question.
I like Casey. I think that he's brought something that we needed. One, we needed a number 2 center.
Mm-hmm.
We got him. He started off hot. Now he's simmered down because I think we've talked about it before, Matt, and I talked about it with Drew. It's like now you're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of understanding the plays, understanding where you fit in. You're trying to fit in. You're trying to figure out what you do, what you can contribute to, but also understand that I have to get the main characters, the main superstars, got to get them involved, and I have to be on their time.
Right. Well, Mittelstadt's got 9 points in 15 games. That's solid. I mean, that's better than any pace Ryan Johansson ever had. And to call him an upgrade over Johansson would be the understatement of the century. But my question from when that move was made, and I got hammered for even questioning the great and powerful Chris McFarland, is it enough? I don't know. Because Casey's a younger player.
Yeah.
I don't believe that stylistically he's driving offense to the extent that they need him to.
Okay.
You need that second line center to be the guy who's busted it in on the rush. You need him to be able to generate for others more. Now, I love the point that you just brought up because it's something that's been talked about lately. Hey, it's early. It's early for Casey. All right, I told you 10 games, you know, that I needed 10 games to be able to evaluate it. But even still, I mean, he's played only 15 for the Avs, okay?
That's
You're
wild.
Obviously not going to be in symmetry with MacKinnon and really just picked everything up structurally. He's a 24-year-old who's still trying to figure out his own game. He doesn't want to let his guys down because now you're playing with world-class talent that you didn't have in Buffalo.
Superstars. You're playing with superstars.
And the one thing that you don't want to do is get in their way. So it's hard to balance all of this other stuff. Maybe at the beginning there was a little bit more playing instinctual because he didn't know the structure.
And excited. You're new. You're trying to prove yourself.
Lately, though, I feel like just missing a little bit of a dynamic element. So Val, as a result, playing on the second line, in my opinion, has had to pick up some of that slack, some of those defensive responsibilities, forechecking responsibilities. And I know Casey's solid, okay? He's solid. But I'm just talking about to win a championship, buddy, you got to be great.
Well,
okay?
But this is the thing, right? I'm looking at Casey Mills. I'm not looking at him as a Jamal Murray, we got to win. He's the reason why we're going to win.
No.
I thought he's like the depth piece to help us get kind of going. It's Val for me, and Val has been MIA. And my question to you was...
Not the same way he's been in the past.
Yeah, sure. let's just hope he doesn't do what he was in the past. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, if Val would have picked his game up with the point scoring, because that's what he's lacking, I know he's doing other things... Would you be saying the same thing about Casey Millsap? Because that's what we're missing is that power of scoring when that second line's in.
Well, Val's playing with Casey.
Yeah.
And now Val hasn't had a point in 5 straight games. Now, I don't believe that Val has looked right since coming back the lower body injury.
I agree with you on that.
Something's going on, and he's just grinding through it, which sucks, okay, this time of year, based upon his history.
Yeah.
Not overly encouraging there. That's number one. Number two is, if it's not going to work with Mittelstadt, then you got to figure something else out. So Mikko Rantanen is set to come back from a concussion that he suffered last Friday in Edmonton tomorrow afternoon against Winnipeg. So it sounds like Bednar is going to move Rantanen down to the second line.
Switch the rotation up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, maybe try and jumpstart Mittelstadt, give him some other opportunities, and play him with Nichushkin. So that means Lehkonen and Drouin are going to be on that top line with MacKinnon. But I'm kind of along the lines of your thinking. I believe that you unlock Val when he plays with Nate. I think there's just a different sort of sense of urgency he plays with when he plays with Nate.
Give him a little boost, right?
I'm with
you. Put him up there for a little while. You can always put him back down later on, but put him up there with the big dog.
And you know who I think plays really well with Mikko? Lecky. The Finns. The Finnish brother. You got to put them together. I would be interested to see Mittelstadt, Lehkonen, and Rantanen, and then Nichushkin, MacKinnon, and Drouin on the top line. Now, it sounds like that's not how they're going to do it. It sounds like it's going to be Nichushkin, Mittelstadt, and Rantanen, and then it's going to be Lehkonen, MacKinnon, and Drouin. Either way, I think right now what you're seeing is that it hasn't worked yet, okay? They haven't found
something. Which is scary because they're winning games, but it really hasn't, like, worked just yet to where it's like, when it does work, Matt, what's going to happen?
If it works, okay? I'm just saying, you got to think about it. You got to think about it like that because it's not a foregone conclusion that it's going to work. If it works, and I hope it does. I'm pulling for it, man. But the reason why you got to be able to send lines and waves. It's way too easy to take one line away, or at least to limit them, especially if you don't have home ice. You don't have last change. And in the NHL, if you're at home, you get last change, and you can play matchups. So to me, it's you've got to find a way to generate another wave and another wave after that because I don't have concerns about the third line. Miles Wood, when he eventually gets back, I don't think he's going to play tomorrow night. Bednar said he's doubtful today.
Yeah.
Miles Wood, Ross Colton, okay? Those guys are playoff players. Zach Parise, I believe, will be better in the playoffs.
He's vet savvy. Veteran.
Yes, I agree. Cogliano, you think that Cogs isn't going to have his line rip-roaring and ready to go?
But the other thing that kind of gets me, and maybe it's with the first line, second line, is the defense.
Yeah.
The defense, the special teams on top of that. But the defense helping Georgiev out. That's why sometimes I don't give it all on Georgiev because it's not all on him.
Mm-mm. It's the guys in front of him.
Josh Manson at times. Like, why is there a guy behind you?
Manson. Just getting. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Why is
you're
he
wrong?
Why
I mean,
is
you're
he
not wrong.
You?
You're not wrong.
And I know I'm new to this, but I'm looking at the TV like, I know dang well That man should not be behind the defense.
Mm-hmm. The bigger concern, I think, with Avs fans is not Josh. I think it's Kale and Devon. I think it's their top pair. I think that is probably the bigger concern. I would say defensively, Drew, I don't know, chime in here. Defensively, I don't think this has been the year that they've had the last two.
No, especially neither one of those. Kale McCarr, I mean, for all the points he's put up, boys, he got 89 points, I think, already this year.
Yeah.
He has a lot.
He hasn't looked like Kale McCarr.
At times.
I mean, a lot of times he really has not looked like himself. I think Devon Toews has kind of been himself.
I think
Devon Toews has been fine, but I look at McCarr, I don't think he's been his normal self. Phil, I'm totally with you on Josh Manson. I have not liked Josh Manson, especially over the last couple weeks at all.
Oh, Sam, we know, Drew.
Sam Girard.
Come in here telling me.
I know. Sam Girard, though, has been a great surprise for me. Since he came back from the player assistance program,
been great.
He's been really good. Jack Johnson is kind of just
He's
there.
A playoff player.
Yeah, he's a playoff player. He's just kind of been there overall.
That's my guy, Jack.
Here's what I wonder. I know that, you know, you mentioned the stats. You mentioned how many shots on goal they've given up over the last few games. I wonder, though, if they not necessarily found something against Minnesota the other night, because I know Minnesota's not a very good offensive team.
No, they found something.
Well,
yeah, get the puck to 29 and get the you-know-what out the way.
Obviously, yeah.
Get the MVP out the way.
But, I mean, what was it? They gave up 7 shots on goal at even strength, sure. 7 or 8 shots on goal.
It was their best at 5-on-5 all
easily.
Year.
Easily. Now, like I said, I know Minnesota's not a goal-scoring team. They average just a little over 2 goals a game.
Right.
But I wonder if they look and say, you know what, listen, we don't necessarily have the goaltending. We're not necessarily built to be a team that's going to win a lot of games 3-2, but maybe we have to kind of revert back to that because we don't have the goaltending behind us.
But you know what you're missing, too? And I hear you, and you're right on. When the Avs won the Cup in 21-22, Kale McCarr was a plus 48, meaning in the time he was on the ice, they outscored teams by 48, plus 48, okay? And Toews was even crazier than that.
Yeah.
Toews' number was even bigger. Well, the last 2 years, McCarr was a plus 16 last year, and he's a plus 15 this year. And when I say it's the same team the last two seasons, there's a lot what I'm talking about, but what's the difference? You don't have Kadri on the back check. You don't have healthy Nichushkin on the back check. You don't have Landy on the back check. You're not getting as much support from the guys in front of you. So more of it is on McCarr and is on Toews. So, yes, as they continue to progress towards the playoffs, it's about everybody collectively stepping up their game.
I just get worried about the defense, man. That's to me, it's like, even in hockey, defense has to help you win.
Defense wins championships.
You know?
No question.
And no matter what you do, right? Basketball, football, hockey, defense is going to help you win that championship.
And one of the problems this year, in my opinion, is and I don't know how you feel about it, but this is just my personal philosophy. Heading into the playoffs in whatever sport, I always evaluate my championship contenders based upon whose A game looks the best. And I would say that, first of all, the Avs A game the year they won the Cup, they could beat you Baskin-Robbins, however you want it, 31 Dominant. Flavors. I mean, they could beat you from ahead, they could beat you from behind, they could win a 2-1 game, they could win a 6-0 game. No problem. This year's team, the best version of them is when they're making some sort of harebrained, furious comeback. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Well,
it's
that's
not like they're
game.
Playing with the lead.
You're right. That's like every game. Every single game is a comeback.
Right.
And a comeback great fashion. I call them the comeback kids.
The comeback kids.
It's wild. You can't do that in the playoffs.
It makes me a little worried.
But to me, that's where the goaltending comes in. That's where you've got to have Georgiev make big-time saves.
Okay.
Come up and make a stop. He's got
to
do it at some point in time. I'm not confident he's going to, but he's got to be able to do that. And I look around the rest of the Western Conference. There's not a team out there that I look and I go, yeah, that team's A game is better than the Avalanche. Because I don't think they're –
Dallas. They showed us on Sunday.
They did that.
The Avs had a bad game. They had a bad outing. But guess what? Avs are 3-1 against the Stars.
Okay.
I mean, I just
– Okay.
Dallas is probably going to lose in the first round of Vegas.
What was the Colorado Avalanche's best game this year? Like, when you can sit down, and I know Matt and Drew, you guys watched every single Avalanche game. What was just there? Like, you know what? A game, this is who they are.
Over Anaheim before the calendar turned. Then they beat Anaheim like 6-0. That's one of them.
Yeah, that stands out.
Toronto, they beat Toronto, which I thought in Toronto, which was good.
The Boston game.
Yeah,
here.
The Boston game
was
a good
3-2,
win.
Something like that.
You know what's crazy to me? We lost it.
But Phil,
I love the Rangers game.
What, the 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah, in the shootout.
It was well fought.
No question.
Honestly, both games against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Who are the favorite out of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, they lost both of them in overtime. So if you would have asked me that about 21-22, the year they won the cup,
yeah,
I could have listed like 15 and told you exactly what happened in every one of them. This year, it feels like they're kind of similar, like you're just kind of getting by. And I know it's tough to say that when no one in the league has had more power plays and they're the highest, one of the highest scoring teams in the league. But understand this, Phil. When we get to playoffs, hockey changes. There's not as much space on the ice.
Yep.
It's way more physical.
Ugly
now, do
goals.
I think the Avs have been a good physical team this year? Drew, I mean, I don't think so.
I think that's what they're lacking.
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off about them.
But that's also part of the defense.
And I agree with you. Like, they're not as physical as a lot of these teams are getting ready to play. And I think that's where we kind of go wrong.
You got to meet the moment. You got to meet the moment, and I hope they do. I'm pulling for them, Phil, but I'll just tell you, my concerns, the list of concerns I have is much longer than the list I can go to where I can say, oh, well, if this happens, then I know they can beat this team because of X, Y, and Z. You know, all the lists of pros and cons,
yeah.
My cons list is longer, and I don't love that position, whereas the Nuggets... I mean, my cons list is all right. Well, sometimes they've been, you know, sleepwalking
into
games.
Right.
And my pros list is, hey, you know, they'll fool around with you, and then they're the best clutch time in the NBA offensively and defensively.
For sure.
They can beat a team in the West on the road. They can beat you at home. They can beat you shorthanded. They can beat you at full strength. Like, there's a lot of different things that I think, you know, from a confidence perspective, allow me to see the Nuggets making a deep run. If the Avs make a deep run, I can't see it right now. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I just can't see it right now.
It's tough.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, you have to understand, outside of the year that they made the cup final, they haven't been out of the second round yet. So until this team can show us a little, you know, it's like feast or famine. You show us a little in between, then maybe I could see where Drew's coming from with the, you know, conference finals finish. Maybe who knows what happens. But I'll just say, work to be done. I think we can all agree heading into playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah,
gotta
I would
win.
Agree. Yeah, I would agree with that.
We got to win. We got to win. Got to get that home.
I think this weekend's going to tell us a lot, to be honest with you. Against Winnipeg,
so
against Vegas, I think this is going to tell us a lot about this team's trajectory going into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Matt Smith in for Zach Bye with Phil Lindsay. It's The Drive. Is this your way of telling me to be positive, KJ? Gotta have high hopes.
Hey, you got to, man. The way you just talked about the Avs there the last 25 minutes, I'm nervous.
Matt, man, everybody's scared.
Everybody should be scared. The
West
is loaded.
Say?
What's that?
Go, Avs, go.
All righty. A couple of texts here on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. Matt. Guess the Avs should just decline their playoff appearance and wait until next year. Come on, guys. Who said that? Nobody said that.
And hey, wait, don't say come on, guys. Phil and I are all in. Matt's Nancy over here.
No guys in this
Matt's
one.
The one who's just being real with you. I mean, just being real with you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. You want me to come on here? You know what, Phil? Avs are going to the cup. Don't even think
it.
Twice about it.
I love it.
Don't even think twice.
The Avs, the Denver Nuggets.
Is that good, Texter? Is that better for you? Okay. How about stop taking stupid penalties, especially double minors, and play better defense in front of Georgiev since he isn't a great goaltender? How about that? Hopefully you'll read this on the air. Butch. There you go, Butch. I think that's a good call.
I mean, yeah, he does have
a good call. He does
play
have
better
a good
defense.
Point. Play better defense. That's a great
Madison.
Point. Somebody said, I just saw on NFL Access that Brady's open to an NFL return. Broncos, question mark?
Why is Brady doing that? Like I looked at it this morning, and it kind of made me mad. It's like, dude, leave it alone.
You saw
him,
huh?
Just want attention. Yeah, I seen it. I called him.
He was
I said,
on
yo,
some whack podcast with some skinny dude that looked like Travis Barker. Did you see that?
I did. Like, and the guy was asking, like, right? He was asking him about.
Do you know who that was, KJ? I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Never seen him. Never heard of him.
Never seen him. Look like some Kmart brand version of Travis Barker.
Tom Brady, trust him?
Apparently, he's got a popular podcast. I just don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
And he asked Tom if Tom would ever be open to returning, and this is what Tom said.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders,
look,
could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know, I'm always going to be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball, so to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
That ain't the same, Tom. That's not the same at all. MJ coming back after playing baseball? Or is he talking about Wizards MJ? Because there's a little bit of a difference. You know
MJ
what?
MJ with the Wizards didn't bring home finals, did he?
Well, I mean, he's 40. He's 40 at that stage. I don't think anybody expected
exactly,
him.
Exactly, Matt.
Yeah. But, I mean, for a 40-year-old, he played pretty damn well for the Wizards.
Brady needs to stay out. Brady needs to let the young bucks be young bucks and develop another Tom Brady. Dang. Yeah, all these old folks don't want to leave.
Wait, could Tom be like the Gordie Howe of football, where he tries to play in every decade for, what, like five decades, something like that?
70-year-old Brady.
Yeah, 70-year-old Brady out there.
Just getting wheeled out to the field.
If you let him, he would.
No.
He probably would.
Tom's just trying to stay in the news. Tom's a little bored.
He's a little bored.
Single Tom. He's not getting nagged all the time now, and now he can do whatever he wants. Sure, you want to come back and, I mean, what are the teams he mentioned here?
Patriots. Raiders. Look, could be. You never know.
All right, Patriots and Raiders. Do any of us think that by the end of the year, the Patriots and the Raiders are going to be destined for the playoffs? And, oh, no, quarterback injury. Tom, come save us.
No. But do I think that a team would reach out to Tom after hearing this? I think so. Especially if somebody gets hurt. I think somebody's going to call, hey, Tom, would you come out? Like, why not? Why? What, like, what's hurting them?
Do you think Sean's calling? Tommy B, what are you doing, Tom?
No, Sean's too caught up in being the guru of developing this young quarterback that they're going to go pick.
Someone says Tom would be a top five quarterback today.
He's not wrong.
I mean, but
they got to let these young men. They got to let these young men.
He stepped away when he should have won the MVP. Rodgers won the MVP, but Brady threw for like 5,000 yards. His last season. No, he's not coming back. He's just trying to stay relevant. There's no question about it. I do want to bring up the Nuggets because they have a huge game tonight trying to lock up the first seed in the Western Conference for the second year in a row.
Yep.
We'll break it down next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
Oh, it's Friday night. Come on now. Getting after it tonight.
We have arrived.
None of you are getting after it. KJ's married, Drew's married, Phil's married. Y'all some lame, man.
What do you mean? We're not going to be getting after it on a Friday night?
That's what I'm saying. It's Friday night.
Come on. It's nice out.
I'm married. Guys can't have fun, too.
Yeah, come on now. Back patio's calling my name, baby. Let's go.
The back patio. You're going to be in the kitchen chopping veggies for dinner. Don't lie.
No, going out to dinner.
I think so.
Going out to the patio. Let's go.
I think so. How about you, KJ? You got the honey-do list this weekend?
No, outside of that wedding, man, I've cleaned up my act this week. So
you've cleaned up your act
I've gotten
week.
It all done during the week so I can enjoy the weekend.
This is a smart man. Invest to get the time later. I got you. How about you, Phil?
You know what? It's funny that we're talking about patio and stuff. My wife is actually out there, not supposed to be because she's pregnant.
Right.
But she's out there putting together the patio furniture.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm going to go there and sit down on it.
Your ass ain't doing it.
I just say it. You did a great job on this patio furniture.
See how soft it is.
Yeah.
The Drive's Top 5 of the Night brought to you by High Five Plumbing. All right, we got tons to get into this weekend. The Rockies are playing. Let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah.
A little house cleaning. They're down 2-1 to the Blue Jays already. They got a series in Toronto. You know, Chris Bryant hitting a smoldering .098.
Man, think about what that man has done. Matt, he went out there.
Squat. That's what he's done.
I was going to say, you don't have to think long.
No. And by the way, Rockies news, they just lost their closer to season-ending elbow surgery. Daniel Bard had another setback in rehab. He's out for the year.
Ooh.
3-10.
Hey,
road 200 again.
They're also 0-9 in Toronto lifetime. They think they get off the schneid this weekend?
Do I think they get off the schneid against a team that can absolutely tear the cover off the baseball?
Yeah.
No, I don't. They got to face Kevin Gausman tonight and Jose Berrios. No.
Will they be worse on the road this year than at home? So far, that's the trend.
I don't know, man. They got a three-game set in Toronto, then they got a three-game set in Philly. How many of those do they win? 1 of 6?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, you give them 1 or 6, huh? 1 of 6.
If they're lucky. Hopefully from my experiment, it comes through. All right, so we got the Rockies. If you want to watch that, you know, there's that. You can always be a masochist and watch the Colorado Rockies, I guess. I don't know. NBA-wise, tonight, Nuggets and Spurs, I know we'll all be dialed into that. The Nuggets have to win out to take the 1 seed. Otherwise, they need some help from OKC and Minnesota. They've got the Spurs tonight. Spurs are 5-5 in their last 10. Sounds like we're going to see Victor Wembanyama tonight. Phil, prediction. How much do we see Jamal Murray tonight?
Ooh, 25 minutes. 25 minutes.
That's about right.
Honestly, that's as how many minutes you should probably see everybody. That's the starting point.
And then tomorrow we got Pios. We got a Natty. Titletown USA trying to bring home another crown.
What you thinking?
Pios and Eagles. You want me to tell you what I'm thinking?
I don't know if you want to say after that.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, don't ask Megan and Matt over here what he's thinking.
Let's go to Drew and KJ. We bringing home another national title?
Man, I like our chances. It's kind of weird. We were just talking about it during the break, guys, that, you know, DU was like the highest scoring team in college hockey this year, averaging basically 5 goals a game. In 3 games so far in the NCAA tournament, they've won all 3 by a score of 2-1. Matt Davison goal has been phenomenal for them. Man, but BC's a beast. That team is loaded.
It comes down to I haven't seen DU do a lot of scoring like they did during the season. Like that's
you got to score some goals to beat BC. You have to.
They got their guy back though. Mikko Matica came back on Thursday night.
So and Massimo Rizzo.
I mean, yeah, that's. I mean, I don't know. I think DU's going to end up stunning this thing and getting the 10 national titles. I think they're going to win this game.
So eat it, texters who think we don't talk about DU. Eat it. How about you, KJ? What do you got going on this weekend?
Well, first off, I definitely think that the Pios will win.
Attaboy.
The one thing that they've taken from the Avs, and it's a very great thing, when things get ugly, grimy, nasty, they know how to pull it out. They've been in those games consistently, especially down the stretch. They've been in multiple overtime games here leading up to the championship game. And I believe the Pios have everything they need down on the inside to pull out their 10th national championship. Let's go.
Couple clicks for KJ on the breakdown. The DU Pios. I absolutely love it. And then the Avs tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Do the Avs lock up the 2 seed, Phil?
I do.
Do they beat Winnipeg at home?
I think so. Ball Arena has some magic over there. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a magical week at Ball Arena.
It has. I think that Nathan MacKinnon cannot be stopped at this point, and we are going to beat Winnipeg.
Let the dog off the chain. MacKinnon's playing like you took your dog for a walk and he saw a rabbit and then you just let him off the leash. You know what I mean? That's how ferocious he's playing. How about you, Drew? Do the Avs take home the second seed?
I think so. I think they figured something out against Minnesota the other night defensively. I think Georgiev, who I would assume is going to get the start tomorrow.
I heard it might be Onanen.
See, that's interesting to me.
For real?
I actually would have thought they'd have flip-flopped it because I feel like while both games are big games this weekend, I feel like the Winnipeg game's a bigger game. You would watch your number one goalie.
You would think.
Playing in that game and then,
unless you're about to play Winnipeg in a playoff series and you don't want them to see Georgiev a week before the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean,
does that make a lot of sense?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. You know why? Because Onanen catches with the other hand. You know how you get a lefty shooter?
Yeah.
Onanen catches with the right, not the left.
Okay.
Georgiev catches with the left. That's standard.
Catching makes sense.
With the left. Yeah, so maybe you give him a different look. I get it. And Eustace, I mean, look, people have been banging the table because Eustace has been so rock steady. So
well, my issue is this.
Yeah.
If Onanen goes out there and has a phenomenal game, then what happens? Then what happens? We're going to sit here.
Nothing.
For us and Bednar, but everybody else is going to be like, let Onanen start.
Yeah, well.
Let Onanen start.
They're already saying that. So what do you want? I don't know.
By the way, when was the last time we played Winnipeg? It was like back in December, I think, wasn't it?
It was a couple months ago. They've gotten the Avs, I want to say, twice this year. They've beaten the Avs.
Let's see. December 16th was the last time they played.
Was it? Okay.
They beat the Avs 6-2, and then before that...
They beat the Avs
4-2, and then the Avs got them the first time.
Yeah, they played them within a week of each other in December. They beat them there 6-2, and the Avs lost here 4-2.
Yeah,
it's time to write that. I'm telling you, that is a big physical team with a really good goalie. The Avs are going to have to outscore their deficiencies in that series, and that's not a good plan. Sorry.
It's going
to
be fine. Listen, Avs tomorrow. Tomorrow 4-2.
Sorry, I forgot. Avs are winning the cup.
Come on. Avs tomorrow 4-2, and then Sunday I'm going to go Vegas 5-4 in overtime.
Okay, KJ, do the Avs bring home the second seed? Do we start home ice here for the first round?
They sure do. The Avalanche, they understand what's at stake. We've seen moments this year when they really need to get it done. They've gotten it done. That one stretch after the All-Star break was probably the most concerning. They won't see a stretch like that anytime soon. until next year. Mm-hmm. So those days are behind us. They recognize that, just take it game by game, step by step. You've come this far. You don't have to.
Lean up to the mic here. Mm-hmm. Lena, get close.
You don't have to put it all on the line right now. Save it for the playoffs.
Oh, save it.
Save it. Save it.
Who saved what?
The Avs need
the goals. The goals. Save the goals.
Save. First off, the goalies need to save their stuff for the playoffs. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I got you, KJ. We'll see. I'll be watching it all. I'll be dialed in. And then Sunday, 7 to 10 a.m., you know the drill. Matt Smith and Kyle Reese. Free plug, baby.
All right.
I know Phil's going to be locked in. 7 a.m. Sunday. He gets up early.
I do.
Doesn't miss a show.
Sitting on the patio that his wife
built. You get up early on Sunday, then you come in here on Monday and hit Zach with some of this hockey talk. You're just going to be absolutely blown away. Be absolutely blown away. All right, the Avs, look, they're 5-game winning streak. Hopefully they can make it 6. Yeah, maybe even 7. Who knows? And the Nuggets today against Victor Wembanyama. You got next, but Jokic got now.
Yeah.
Nikola. Yeah. Back-to-back. Back-to-back MVPs for Nate and Nikola. Just both of them. Feels good. Feels good to be in the Mile High City. Title town, MVPs. We're damn good at MVP chants now. You notice that? The Ball Arena crowd might be the best in the country.
MVP! I don't know if they're talking about Nathan MacKinnon or Jokic.
Both.
Like, I'm like,
both.
What?
It's a catch-all for us here in Denver. We're lucky with it. By the way, on the way out, I just got to let you know that if you want the chance to hang out with Phil, hang out with Zach, those boys, they're hitting the road. It's the Drive's Brouhaha, their first stop in Edgewater at the Beer Garden, Friday, April 19th, 2 to 6. Head to denversports.com/the drive for more details. You guys going to be out there, huh?
Out there on the road.
Sipping a little, maybe stay afterwards, sip a little on the 19th.
Get a couple drinks here and there.
What you doing on the 20th? Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay, our guy, Cecil, the Mammy, the Lammy. He's up next with Denver Sports Tonight.